Hello, everyone. This is Paige Hattie with CBM Connect, and today I'm speaking with Tom Murphy, the Managing Director of Reliability Team Limited. Tom has over 30 years of experience with condition monitoring and is an ISO CAT 1 ultrasound trainer, also an ASNT level 1 and 2 trainer, and has delivered training in over 70 countries to 1,000 plus students so far. I'm looking forward to catching up with Tom today and speaking about the value of a holistic condition monitoring program. Tom, how are you doing today?
Very good, thank you very much. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into things here, Tom. So first off, can you just share a little bit about your background and then also just pair that with your passion for condition monitoring and what you'd like to talk about with us today?
Well, I'm one of the old guys in the business, really. I've been vaguely involved with condition monitoring for over 30 years. I have a degree in acoustics. I'm a chartered engineer, so even the Queen thinks I know what I'm talking about. And I've spent my life since 1984 in vibration measurement, which then became condition monitoring in the late 80s, and I set up my own company in 1994, so 25 years running my own company. And basically what we do at Reliability Team is to help people to improve the reliability of their assets through condition monitoring, whether that's vibration or thermography or my favorite passion of the last 20 years, ultrasound. So I'm very much involved pretty much on a daily basis with condition monitoring in its broadest sense and trying to help people to get more out of the tools that they have to extend the life of their assets.
Beauty. So that all being said, Tom, can you elaborate on your feelings about, you know, what it takes for training to work for someone? And then do you feel like training is all that someone needs to be successful in this line of work?
Well, taking the latter part first, definitely not. There's several aspects, I think, to training. And if we look historically at how training has developed, if training has even developed over the years, the big selling point for buying any piece of equipment for a long time was you don't need any training with this. You can take it out of the box and you're off straight away. It's easy. It's simple. Anyone can do it. So that's what people buy. They buy things on the basis that anyone can do it. And then they find out that that's, well, not strictly true. Then we go to the other extreme, which is that certain technologies now have the cachet about them, which is, oh, they're very complicated. You know, a lot of people will say vibration, oh, that's very, very complicated. And infrared is really very, very easy. You just need to see all these people pointing infrared cameras or infrared temperature guns in people's faces to measure their temperatures these days. No, it doesn't work that way. And I think that being trained how to do something is great, but success comes with experience. And the simplest model that we're all familiar with there has to be driving the car. You know, you go through all the various modes of training and you maybe these days even do some work on a simulator or whatever it may be. And eventually you get that piece of paper that says, I'm qualified. But does that make you a good driver? Does it make you a safe driver? Does it make you an experienced driver? No, absolutely not. That comes with a lot of exposure and a lot of additional training that can be provided through mentoring. So I would suggest that training really is in two key parts in our world these days. Firstly, there's gathering the facts and the factual information, and that's great and it's invaluable and it's necessary. But you also need that, how do I use this? How do I take what I've learned and put it into practice? And what about all the bits that nobody's told me about yet? So I think it's just that bigger picture.
Absolutely. And that being said, Tom, something that I think would be really helpful for our listeners to get your opinion on would be more so about how someone can qualify if a training program is the right fit for them. So if I was new to the industry, looking to get certified, where would you suggest that I start? And then how would I be able to really truly tell that a training program and certification program was the right fit for me?
Oh, this is a minefield, Paige. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tom.
This is an absolute minefield. You see, I sit on and have been involved with things with ISO and British Institute of Non-Destructive Testing and so on, and it's clear that the whole idea behind the training course designs is to normalize these things in terms of having someone who's a trainer, and but the logical inference is that if you go on your level one course or cat one course or whatever it may be, that as far as the system is concerned, it doesn't matter who taught you, because whoever taught you will have taught you to the same level and the same standard. Now, I have a major problem with that, because and I know many, many people do, because for any particular subject that you did at school, did you have a favorite teacher? Did you have a teacher that you really hated that they were teaching a particular subject because you didn't really learn much about that subject because of that teacher? My experience is that you can make or break a subject. You can make or break a subject by how you teach it, not how you deliver it, but what's behind that in terms of positioning, in terms of building the topic around, putting interest, putting care, putting experience into that topic, to be able to interact with people and to go out on the shop floor and show people how to do something. And that for me is the difference between an online training course and being in somebody's factory teaching them how to do stuff. And everybody lumps that all together as training. But I see these things in very different ways, and they're all important and they're all necessary. And you need all of the bits. You need the experience, but you need to understand the physics, if you like, behind where that experience comes from and what it means. Having just the physics, having just the theory and no experience is also not very helpful. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
It does. And I know it was a loaded question, so I think your response is on the money. So switching gears just a little bit on you, Tom. So in a few of your different articles and presentations, and I know there are many, you talk a little bit about FIT. Would you mind kind of explaining a little bit about what that is?
Oh, you know, the world is all involved with TLAs, don't you? And I always take that one step further and say life is an FLA. And people look at me and say, what's an FLA? Well, it's a four-letter acronym. You're nobody these days if you don't have a TLA. So it dawned on me that when working with ultrasound, there are really three things that ultrasound is great for measuring. And those three things are friction and impacting and turbulence. And so when you're doing your failure mode and effect analysis, which really should always be the number one step in preparation for doing anything to do with condition monitoring, the important thing that can fall out of that exercise is a problem which is going to generate friction or impacting or turbulence or the lack of those three things. And if that is the case, then ultrasound is almost undoubtedly going to be the best tool in the toolbox to help you. So that's where Is Your FMEA Fit comes from.
All
it's
right.
My four-letter, three-letter acronym. Does that
Love
make it
it
a seven-letter acronym? Don't know.
We have a lot of acronyms going on, Tom, so it's all
I know.
Good.
When you come across a person who hates them, they really struggle.
Is the investment of ultrasound really worth it?
Yeah, that's a weighted question, but undoubtedly I would have to say yes. How do you define worth it? Well, whatever you're going to invest in, whether it's going to be vibration or infrared or ultrasound, if whatever it may be, if you think that one tool is the only tool you're going to need, no, because failure modes will clearly tell you that you need multiple tools to find multiple problems. And the great benefit that ultrasound brings to the table is really its ability to find so many defects. I talk about my eight pillars. So I can use ultrasound for compressed air leaks and vacuum leaks and steam traps and steam leaks and valves and hydraulics and electrical and bearing lubrication and all sorts of other sorts of rotating machinery defects. And there's so many things that I can do with it. And so the payback on an ultrasound system is ridiculous, sometimes unbelievably quick. I have traveled the world implementing ultrasound programs for people, and in many cases the full investment of the training and the purchase of the equipment, we've recovered that entire cost, sometimes even in the first day of the implementation. Certainly by the end of the first week, it's very, very unusual if we haven't recovered some, if not all, of the investment costs. That's at the end of the first week. So recovering an investment, whether it's vibration or ultrasound or infrared, is not difficult. It really isn't. I would just put it out there that, and you can accuse me of being biased, I don't mind, that ultrasound probably just does it faster, simply because there are more areas that we can take it to. That's all. But all of these tools are essential, money-saving, cost-saving, life stress-relieving tools for any business. There, how about that?
Very well said, Tom. So just to wrap things up here for today, and you know I don't want to, I could go on with you for ages. Do you have just anything else that you'd like to add here, Tom?
Well, you know, I could go on for years. I do. I can go on and on and on. It just so happens to be, I'm very lucky because I live and work in a field where I'm very, very pleased and happy to be able to work in. So always happy to do that, and always happy to pass that learning on to anyone and everyone. So you hear this and you were stimulated to ask me a question or want to ask me a question, I'm sure there's plenty of easy ways to get hold of me via the internet and all the rest of it, but the email address is tom@reliabilityteam.com. So any question, you know, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Sometimes you should see my stupid answers, but there's no such thing as a stupid question. And if I can help anyone at any time to get more reliability, to get more life out of their assets, that's what I love to do. And thank you to Paige, thank you to Kim, and thank you to Mobius for this opportunity. There you
Excellent,
go.
Tom. Very well said, as always. It's always a pleasure, Tom, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Who knows? One day we may be able to do something quaint and old-fashioned like meet face-to-face again.
I sure hope so, Tom. I sure hope so.
Oh, those heady days.
That's for sure. Thank you so much, Tom.
All right.